Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper here, your host, and welcome to another episode of the We Are Women podcast. Today with me, I have Sigrid de Haast. Now, Sigrid is the founder and director of Sticky Big Marketing, and she formerly studied marketing and has a direct experience in starting up, building and selling businesses together with different types of marketing that are required at each stage along the way. In her own business, Sigrid discovered the power of authorship and the way it creates high profit and competition-free positioning. She's now developed the formula, build a book with built-in marketing that builds your business, specifically designed for women in business to experience the power of authorship as their top marketing and instant credibility tool. This is going to be a really interesting topic because I know that we've talked about books before in the past and having written books, but actually being able to have an expert on board who can teach us about how to use that book as a marketing tool to build our business and build our profile is going to be a heap of value. So welcome, Sigrid. I really am going to enjoy this conversation, and I'm sure that my listeners are as well.
Hi, Janine. Really great to be here. And yes, I'm very excited about sharing what I know and what I have experienced along the journey, especially being a woman in business like you and like the listeners.
And so you're a 3-times best-selling author. That is just quite amazing. I missed that off the beginning of the bio. I've written one book and I've got one that's getting done, but, you know, to be 3-times bestseller is – how did you do that?
Look, it's a formula of, in the first instance, the formula is how to put that whole book together when you start, and that can be done really quickly, and then filling in the chapters can be done really quickly, and then that promotional journey to bring it through the selling stages, and I use Amazon in particular to bring the book through there to being sold to their requirements, which gives you then that status. Now, those statuses don't last very long. They do last however long it takes for other books to being sold at the same time, but the status was reached each time through that journey of creating your promotions to get those sales in. So yes, it was very exciting. It's international. So it wasn't just for Australian sales. It was across the US and Europe as well. Very exciting.
Yeah, I blame it. What are the names of the book, Sigrid, so if people go looking for them?
So I started, that's actually really interesting, and it fits into my whole journey. The first book is all about team building and working with teams. Mm-hmm. And the actual title is 5 Practical Steps to Find and Keep Great People. And that was in direct response to me having had my own bricks and mortar businesses and dealing really well with my staff, and then hearing from other business owners around me at the time that they had so much trouble working with their staff, losing staff not doing the right thing by them. And I was looking at what they were doing and what I was doing, and I decided, well, I can, I can help those business owners by telling them what I was doing. So I wrote that book. Now, that first book took me a bit longer than what it takes me now to write one, but it was very, very useful on 2 levels. Number one, that I was able to share what a business owner can do to really work with their staff so that there is no issue and that the staff will be loyal and work towards what the business needs them to do. And secondly, I was getting in clients into when I then started my my marketing business. So it worked really well.
That's great. And what was the names of the other books then too?
So the second book is The Secret of Marketing a Business Like Yours, and that was specifically designed to bring marketing agency clients on board. And that is about, you know, five steps that each business owner needs to go through, or five pillars that are being built with those five steps to really focus on what your specific business needs. So sometimes business owners will think, well, my business is different, and that is exactly right. But marketing, the foundation is always the same. It's just applied differently in the different businesses. So that's what that second book was about. And that brought me my clients into the marketing, Sticky Beak Marketing full service agency that I had up until about a year and a half ago, that I was fully doing that. And now I've changed into more of a consulting training role with marketing. And this is where the Build a Book to Build a Business, that is my third book.
Okay. And that's basically what you're doing now too, isn't it? That's
yes.
It's a great title. All of them have got great titles.
This one is really taking one main tool, which is the book, and using that as your marketing focus, and from there building your other foundations around that, you know, building the other paths to connecting with clients and to bringing clients on board from that main tool, the book.
Okay. Now, give me a little bit more of your background, Sigrid, because obviously with your accent, it's not Australian.
Very easy to pick, isn't it? I've come from Germany originally, and over there I started in photography. That was my training. And over there, photography is classed as it requires an apprenticeship, and it is a trade.
Oh,
so I went into that trade.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a bit different to being art, more what it's more like here, from what I understand. And so I went through that traineeship, and I got a job in marketing, as a marketing photographer. So I've already had that marketing and PR exposure there. I've always loved creating the visuals and just the whole concept of marketing. When I came to Australia, I did a bit of journalism photography, and I liked that as well. And then I had the opportunity to actually study marketing at the TAFE, at the local TAFE, and I went into the Diploma of Marketing. I thought that was really interesting, the foundations of it all, which really is psychology to a great extent, and then researching, you know, data and analytics as part of it. And analyzing things is something I like. I ask lots of questions, so I got through that those stages, and I was just about to start my own photography business with having that marketing knowledge at the time, and I thought I'm going to go into that. I'll have a studio, and I'll do predominantly black and white photography, and put some, shop part component to that, and I should be okay. And it was really interesting at that point in time, and this gives you a bit of an idea of my whole journey and in time frame. At that point in time was just the changes that came into photography, where it was really going to digital. So I'm trained still in, photos with your negatives, and you have to get those developed first and then printed and so on. And at the stage I wanted to start my shop was the digital came into play, and I would not have been prepared for it had I gone ahead with that shop at the time. I didn't really understand at that time the power of that whole change into digital. So luckily, my husband said, well, come on, we'll do what I've done in the past. He's a watchmaker, and he said, let's go into a jewelry business. I had no idea about jewelry, nothing at all. And he said, oh, you can do it. Just use your marketing. And that was really interesting that he said that, because that's exactly what I did. And so we've gone through having a diamond jewelry business where we had a jeweler on board, and where we were supposed to be doing everything in the way the jewelry industry at that point in time was doing here in Australia, which is quite rigid. Marketing a jeweler store was very one was doing exactly the same as another. So you never stood out. There was never really a message for your own store. And I really did everything to the contrary of what they were telling us to do. And that was really good because we managed to build that business in 12 months. I was able to triple the actual client list and double the whole turnover and also increase the profit margins quite a lot just by using a different approach to marketing. So really, when people say, you know, marketing is at the heart of your business and it drives everything, it definitely is. It really is.
And having a bricks and mortar business, is that's really hard to stand out. You know, there's, and as you said, there's you know, there was a jeweler's on every corner, or, you know, there's 10 in every shopping centre. So being different is that, I mean, that's impressive getting those results. What, was there some things that you did in particular that you...
Yeah, look, I really looked at the segmentation of the target market. So when I use those words, I'm talking about really looking at what actually sells. Now, the jewelry industry was looking at the products that were selling, while I was looking at who are the people that are buying those products, not just what products are selling. So they had some sort of a system by which when some particular product sold fast, you would reorder them really fast, while I was looking at who are those people and what else do they want. So I was putting together more things that complemented each other so that I knew I could not only make more sales to the same customer who'd already come once and trusted us, but I could also offer them other opportunities, other types of jewelry that would be befitting of what they'd already purchased. So we were looking at standing out in our area as the jeweler who was doing the jewelry work on site. And that was a big thing. Now, probably lots of other jewelers were doing that as well, but none of them were putting that into their marketing. So we would always market, have your jewelry repairs done on site, safe, secure, and fast. Around that, that was our standout that really set us apart.
And that is a big set. I know for me personally, there's a jeweler that I will travel, you know, a distance to go to because I know that it's the jeweler on site and they're not sending it away and you know, that he'll tell you things honestly as well. So that's a really big part of, you know, getting that trust in the business as well, because, you know, jewelry is a big investment for most people as well.
It is. And it's interesting how businesses often do something and yet don't realize that even though everyone else is doing the same, that nobody is actually telling the customer about it. And that is really what the customer wants to hear. You know, we're doing it on the premises, so that's why they come, even though somebody else might do the same. So for any business, the tip is have a look at what you're doing that your clients value and promote that.
Yeah, that's really important. And this is something, and I know we've had discussions because, you know, my background is sales, yours is marketing. People lump them together all the time and they do cross over a little bit, but you and I have a lot of synchronicity on what our beliefs are within sales and marketing. But I love that you said, who are the people buying? I mean, that is the really relevant thing, isn't it? Exactly. If you don't know who you're selling to, then how can you possibly create a market for a particular product if you don't know who's going to buy it?
That is so true, and particularly true for what you're doing with your sales, of course, you know, that whole process that can be applied there. It is important to know who your client is and to figure out who your best client is, not just any client, not just every client, but who's your best one that you really want to nurture in your whole process, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, that and when you know who they are, you can sort of figure out what their interests are and, you know, what, and we were actually at a meeting together the other day, weren't we? And somebody asked about what was the best social media that they should, and the best way to promote their business. And we both said to this person, well, who's your target market? And they go, right. No, I don't need to know that. I just need to know which social media.
Yeah.
And it was, no, you need to know, because if you don't know what social media that person's on, that particular market, then how are you going to direct your marketing conversation, your marketing dollars, if you're paying for advertising as well? And also, are they actually going to see it? Because are they on it when they're in a business mode and looking for something, or are they just on that when they're, you know, looking for it when they're just casual and they need to be on a different media as well?
It's such an important part. And, you know, in that second book I mentioned to you, in The Secret to Marketing a Business Like Yours, I do talk about that in there particularly. Also, so many business owners, and I saw it actually this morning, for example, on Facebook, somebody posed a question about something. And, of course, you're going to get all sorts of different answers, but nobody will ask you the details of that question. What's behind that question? What's actually happening? You know, just posing a question such as, what social media should I use? I'm just using that now, so not to go into the other detail. But, you know, you pose that, every person will give you an insight from their perspective and probably from who their clients are. And exactly that, it doesn't mean that's your clients and where your clients are. So it's really sad to see that that is made such an important component sometimes of a business. And I guess as women, we do like to talk to each other and support each other. And so we ask each other questions. And great, we help each other, but you just have to look deeper into that, and especially into answers that you're getting, whether that's really, you know, for your business, whether that's really the answer for you.
Yes, and again, everybody's market's different, and well, not necessarily. It's some people have different industries, but they have a similar market, so maybe they'll find those same people there as well. And that's an interesting point that I want to sort of expand on a little bit as well. But, you know, you've got into the marketing business because it just sort of, you know, evolved from what you were doing. But continuing in it, you know, is there, what do you get from it with working with clients? You know, what do you particularly like about it? And, you know, as opposed to working still in photography or the jewelry?
Yeah, I find marketing brings together, for me personally, I really like, I like researching things. I've researched something already this morning in quite some detail for myself on PR, for example. I was researching something around the whole public relations, which can be a component of marketing or be run together with marketing campaigns. So I love that research element. I'm always fascinated by more information, more detail of things. And then I like that creativity around marketing, where you are creating visuals and messages that fit in with the visuals to tap into what people already are thinking and what they want to know more of. Bringing all of that together, that's always, I've always loved that. Way back in school days, I was very good at art. And I always loved history, you know, that finding out what happened earlier on, that sort of thing is what I'm thinking brought me to that, you know, research and liking that art component, of course. I really find that fascinating. And then there's, of course, with marketing is a huge psychology. It's all based on consumer behavior. And when I was doing that component in the marketing, in that whole marketing studies, that is just fascinating. And we're experiencing it every single day. And it's so focused through the whole social media, and none of us are really aware of it. We follow leads, we follow things all of the time without actually knowing that we're being led constantly. And that is the psychology that is in everything. A very basic example of psychology, which is not in the social media, but it is in the bricks and mortar businesses. And you know this, and I'm sure listeners know this too. But, you know, when you go into a supermarket, you've always got those, low-end investment buys are sitting at the checkout, and it's just an impulse purchase that you're making. And impulse purchases are particularly set out in that way. And throughout the whole supermarket, everything that is displayed in such a way that it is in your view, in your reach, and so that you can just buy it exactly from the spot where they place it. The message is everywhere. That's all proven through test and measure that works. And in the same way with the social media, that's all set out and proven, that the messages that come through and the way they come through when they are advertising messages in particular, that they are designed for you to take certain actions. You know, being aware of that is important as a consumer, and as a marketer, it's important to know how the consumer behaves in response to your messages out there. And all of that is really interesting and intriguing at the same time.
Absolutely. And how do we learn how a consumer might behave in a situation? So what you mean is that if they're presented with a product information or something, there's a good chance they'll behave a certain way? Or are you talking about, you know, not a product or service, but it's just that this is what people tend to do in this situation? Mm.
Well, you do have a sort of a generic amount of information about, you know, when you have the different, when you're talking about purchase sizes, for example, you know, luxury goods, the purchaser of luxury goods behaves very differently to the purchaser of the sort of medium priced, or the purchaser of, they're really just after low priced. Each of those three groups, just an example, behave very differently. And so it comes back to, Janine, what you just already mentioned, which is knowing who your client is. And when you know that, then you can dig deeper into it. And of course, that most of that research is available through just Google searches for most people. Obviously, when you are in business and you are not a marketer yourself, it does help to bring in some marketing professionals to help you over certain, you know, over certain hurdles, or certainly to get you going and to tell you where you can find more information. But generally speaking, you can find a lot of that data online, and then more data is available. So, for example, when we jumped into the jewelry store, I went through the Queensland, I think it was the Queensland government. There is a small government office. There are offices in the city. They were at the time. I would have to check that now. I'm just saying what I had at the time. And I was able to, for a small fee, go in there and pull out all of the data on the jewelry industry. So I was getting data as to who the biggest players in that industry were, what their turnover is, what sort of marketing they were doing, all that information. So detailed information is available. And it brings me back to that, what I said when looking at people posing questions on Facebook, and I don't want to bag it out at all, but it can be very, very disappointing to get answers, a whole lot of different answers, and none of them are actually relevant to the person asking the question, because they didn't dig deeper into their own clientele, into their own industry. So there is information available. I went to the government, small government support, what's available. I went in there, I said, this is the industry I'm wanting to enter. And they give you information. I think it was only $25, $30, something like that. You can sit there all day and pull out all the information you want about your industry. They have all the data there collected, the latest research. They do collect, you know, questionnaires and consumer behavior in that particular industry. So you can get all of this information quite reasonably, but it takes the time and it takes knowing that that is available, I guess.
So what's the advantage of getting the information?
Well, it brings you back to knowing, how do I set out now to really promote myself? So I was talking to somebody this morning who contacted me, and these days I have to say, with everything that I do, I do my marketing, my paths are out there, but it's not that I'm chasing anybody. I do get contacted and ask things. So this morning I was talking to somebody, she'd contacted me. And she was asking me, so how do I do this, and how do I bring myself? I think it looks like I'm actually in the startup stages of my business. The industry was coaching, and you know, how do I set myself apart? I'm not a life coach. I'm doing something else. And the first thing was really to ask her, well, who is your clientele? Who do you want to target with this? Who will benefit the most? And I kept coming back to saying, what is the outcome, what's the benefit that people are getting from you? And that really wasn't at all clear to her. It just wasn't clear. So
knowing, the usual answer is, it's everybody, isn't it?
It's everybody who wants, yes, it's everybody who wants to feel better, or whatever the wording was, you know. And I said, well, that's a huge, broad, you know, answer, which really means nothing. And so in that way, if you know you are in the coaching industry, then you want to drill down and say, okay, I'm not a life coach, I'm a whatever coach. And then you could still go to find out, in this particular industry, what do clients ask the most? What do clients expect to get? You know, what do clients in this industry expect to pay? What are they comfortable to pay? All of those questions, you can get answers to, which then helps you to position yourself in that industry. And when I talk now, positioning very much with the book, really, it is still the strongest positioning tool of authority there is. I mean, ever since the printing was invented and has started, being an author is still considered the top positioning of authority tool there is. I was watching a news program over lunch today, and it came that was about public relations and how PR works in that field. And it's all about adjusting who you are and what you do. And when you are the author of something, for some reason, there is still this enormous expectation that, yes, that person is an author, they've written about this, that's got to be real, that's a real thing. You know, that person knows what they're talking about. And I'm sure you, with your authorship and your book, have experienced some of that, Janine.
Yes, and that's part of it as well, isn't it? When somebody writes a book, what is the purpose of it? I think that especially if it's a non-fiction book, that it's, you know, based around self-help or a particular topic, as yours are, and as my book is, Good Girls Do Sell. It's what do you expect to get out of that book? And I know when we first met, you asked me, and I said, well, I do sell copies, but it's a fancy business card. It promotes me, gives me profile that people will think, well, she knows what she's talking about because she's written a book on the subject. But you said, I know you said that a lot of people don't have a plan.
That's right. I've come across a lot of authors. So with the marketing agency in particularly, when I had talked about writing a book, I had a lot of authors coming to me over the years saying, well, I have written my book and, you know, I'm not making any sales. Can you help me with marketing my book? So they wrote the book most of the time because they had a message they wanted to bring out there, and they were only focusing on themselves and their own message. There was no outward looking at who's this message for, what are they expecting, and what do they actually want to achieve by reading, or what do I as the author want to achieve by the reader reading this book, and also where am I going to lead the reader with it. And I was talking this morning to that prospect When she asked me about, can I really make more money with a book? And I said, yes. And she asked about sales. No, it's not the sales. It is what you can do with a book. So yes, it is more than a business card for sure, but it is much, much more than that. I have examples of authors that used the book to, for instance, get into a industry that was close to them beforehand. For example, the Law Society, this is in the US now, particularly this example, they were not a lawyer or from that background at all, but they wanted to, they had written a book about a particular specific area of law, and they wanted to go to the lawyers and help them with positioning themselves in social media, which is really difficult. There are a lot of obstacles, of course, for lawyers. However, having a book to their name can make a huge difference because they can put things into context there. And by having her own book written and then offering that to speak at a conference and bringing her book in for that group, in out of a room of 200, she got five clients straight away from these lawyers, which was totally incredible for her to having had that opening just by being the author of a book that was very specific to those lawyers and their issues around social media. So, yes, it can open doors.
And there again, that person has created something that is very, very targeted on a very specific market, but it makes them more successful because they know exactly who their customers are. So they know how to market to them, how to have that conversation with them.
And it doesn't mean you have to stay with just that one market. You know, once the lawyers talk to their accountants, for example, and say, well, I have got this fantastic person I'm working with now. She's the author of such and such a book. The accountant comes and says, do you do this for accountants as well? Mm-hmm. Now, most of the time, as you know, with sales and, you know, the hurdles women face with sales, men face similar hurdles or hurdles on a parallel somehow. And you would be able to say, of course, you know, men, I can help men as well with sales and bring them into that. So in the same way, if you're writing a book on a very specific topic, doesn't mean you're cutting out others at all, you know?
No, it's actually opening up a bigger market, because if you just had written a book, if they had written a book on social media, that would be very general and it wouldn't hit the mark with the people that need to,
that's it,
to hear it. But again, it's not the sale of the book, it's that expertise and then the client base it brings, if they're in a coaching training role as well.
Yes, the thing is, it is open to all industries. So an accountant can write a book and particularly bring in or expand on one particular area of his or her business if they wish to, just by having written a book, just by being the author of a book. So it can go, and also for product sales, we have got another example. Roger had designed very specific pillows and mattresses, and he just wasn't making the sales. He wasn't getting any tractions with that product. Writing a book about the benefits of his mattresses and pillows specifically that he had designed, he got into an actual group of chiropractors who are now selling that for him. So made a massive difference for his product sales.
That's quite amazing, isn't it? It's you wouldn't think you could write a book on mattresses and pillows. But that's quite incredible. So and you've got tips that people can write books quicker and easier as well. You help them do that, don't you?
I do. So when I do a workshop, it's a 2-day workshop, and look, really, when it comes down to it's we really go through the whole business of the person. They summarize and they cut out anything that is not of use to put into the book, and we look at what particularly goes into it, and we create a framework where they can virtually, the chapters are done, and they can virtually just fill in those chapters really quickly. really quickly. It's very focused.
Because normally that, you know, people are, you know, very daunted by writing a book. It's it needs a process, doesn't it? It just can't be random.
Well, think about your, you know, when you teach people on the sales process, it's a process. You do this number one, number two, and so on. And I look at that, and I've designed that in this as well. So it's important to be specific on what you want to put into the book, what you want to achieve with the book. The outcome is always what you want to have in mind first. That's the very first thing, the outcome in mind, and then you design your chapters around that. Now, in some cases, the chapters or the whole book is outlined in such a way that it is about questions people ask about that particular topic. That makes it really easy to fill your chapters, because each chapter is then designed by you simply answering those questions. Makes it so quick, because you're doing that nearly every day anyway. Mm-hmm. In some cases, you can repurpose content that you've already created. You might have already, if you're in business for a while, you might have already written extensively on the subject, what you're about, what you're offering. You might have a quite a large collection of testimonials of outcomes for clients that can be repurposed and put together in a very exciting way. And then the important part is also, I say that it's got built-in marketing. So throughout the book, we make sure that we have an intent with where do we send the reader? What's the next step? Because just the book on its own is just a book. But when you're sending the reader somewhere, you are putting them on a path to nurture them, to get to know you more and more, to get to like you, and then to trust you so they will engage and buy from you if you have something to sell.
Mm. And, yes, if you can write a book about mattresses and pillows and make sales from that, then I think you can write a book about any particular topic at all. And they don't have to be big books now, do they? It's just a – and as you said, it can be a collection of things you've already written before. I know with my first book, I already had so much training material and had written so many blogs. And, again, with the second book, it's the blogs are coming together to create a lot of the information, or just even the ideas of the blogs for the chapters. And mine's fantastic. Just time at the moment. It's just, and the thing is, because I have a book already, it's not as big a priority. It's really interesting. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And I guess that's the thing, Janine, for those business women that want to really focus and get it done, doing a 2-day workshop, for example, with me, and then following on 6 weeks, once a week we meet online, very easy, and we follow up. Each week is another task they get. It's that reminder. It's that support. It's answering any questions that keeps you on the path. You know, when you're in that framework and you want to do it and you enter in such a, working relationship with somebody, then you actually get it done. If you're just doing it on your own because you have the time and you're not, you know, wanting to really get it done, that's fine too, but it can take much, much longer.
Mm. Yes, and that is a very good idea. I know some people record as they do it as well rather than writing it, and I know that's another method. It wouldn't suit me, and I actually know some people have done the recording and still are procrastinating with the rest of the book. The follow-up is a great idea. I love that.
Yes, it's having that follow-up support. Now, the recording of material for the book is a particular process I use for those clients who want to have it all done for them. So the workshop process is where I teach you how you do it. That means you can go over and over the material that you get access to for a lifetime, and you can just write book after book after book if you wish to. The Done For You is a different product that's on the level of those who really just are short of time but have the cash to invest, and it's all done for them. So there we use the recording, and we use it a little bit like an interview style, but with a purpose, of course. And so then, you know, the recordings are then transcribed and put together, and everything else is done for the client. And that can work very well. Again, if you don't have to do it yourself, it makes it different. It's quite a different experience.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. I can, you know, I can imagine there's lots of things that hold people up, though. You know, that if we want to take some takeaway from, you know, what you've been talking about, what would be really important factors, you know, regarding marketing or marketing a book or, you know, anything along those lines?
Look, the first thing really is to be clear on what do I want to achieve with the book and who is it for? Who am I writing this for? So having that clarity, being specific is very important. And in that specific, you know, topic and target, work out what do I want the reader to do next? What is it? Where am I going to send them? Or, you know, what's my call to action in there? That's definitely important before you start writing.
And part of that would be, I mean, I know with mine, I use what I call a soft sell through the book as well, where you talk about the coaching courses or the training as part of the conversation about learning a new topic or in a new subject. That's the type of thing you're talking about, as well as specifically saying, here I am, come and see me.
So as an example, my book, Build a Book to Build Your Business, has got very clear call to action. Come to my training. It's virtually the half day training that you get when you enter my workshop. Come there. It's a free one. I give you a VIP ticket. Go to this page, register for it, come to this half day. So that's designed then for me to actually make contact with them for free. After they've gotten the book version of it, which is the, you know, the lower investment, the first step, they get the next one for free. At the training, I meet them face to face online. They get to know me. If they like me, if they like what I say and show them, the offer is then there and they can jump in. If they don't, then from there on, I nurture them. So it can be direct without selling, right?
Yeah,
that's one one way. And each person again will have a different way of doing this, of setting this up in their book, depending on what their outcome is in mind.
And it's not something that you particularly do think of, but again, you know, unless you've got you know, a big seller and it's something like, you know, Good Girls Get the Corner Office or Nice Girls Get the Corner Office or something like that, you know, that. What is it? I was going to say something, chicken soup for the soul, but that's not quite right, is it? Something.
Yes. You mean where you're making lots of sales?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's a rarity. I mean,
Janine, that's a process. Okay. Everything that happens out there, none of that is by accident. The reason those guys make those sales is because they spend the money in the first place on the marketing. So none of that is for free. And even the New York Times bestseller is not for free. All of that is based on marketing. There's money spent on it. And the sales that happen from Chicken Soup for the Soul, it's all set up beforehand. It's a very clear marketing path. They already have lined up all of the signing options, all of the interviews and so on. They are in a position of usually already having a big name, of course.
Right.
You know, is set up. Yeah, they set that up.
But again, it's a process, isn't it?
Yes.
It's what they want from what they're doing.
They've decided
on a plan.
Absolutely. And so with your book, Good Girls Do Sell, for example, you could set that up. You could set up a whole series of appearances. If you attach that topic to something that is current in the media and you can get that attention, you can set it up and you can really quickly roll out a number of media opportunities, for example. All of those things are possible when you have a clear outcome with your book in mind, what you want it to achieve, and if the book is set up in such a way that you're actually then, you know, having that path laid out for the reader to keep going.
And it's an important factor in the whole decision and writing process and marketing process then.
For sure.
As well.
Yeah. So that's really point number way to take away, you know, using that authorship for a very planned path for yourself and for the readers of the book. Plan it and use it with that outcome in mind. So set everything up, you know, have that clarity. Number one, use that authorship with a plan.
Absolutely. And yes, and that's going to be able to create the, you know, whatever you want it to be, but it could be the high profit opportunities as well, definitely.
Absolutely.
And takeaway number three.
Well, the third one would really be the one thing that I keep hearing, especially from women, is, look, I don't really know marketing. You know, I just do what someone else says, or I get somebody to do it for me. The danger in that is you are not in control of it. You are always marketing you. Like I have had in an ad somewhere, you are always everywhere marketing, meaning that it is always you who's marketing yourself in the first instance. So you really need to understand marketing, and you really need to know what is right for you and the clients you want to target. So how do you get to know that? Well, it's really tricky because there's so much out there in our world today about marketing. A lot of it is information in isolation. By that I mean they're not looking at the big picture. I would definitely say that some marketing professional to consult and get some information on what you're, you know, moving towards to when you start your business or when you are somewhere stuck is a good idea, to really understand how should I drive my marketing and take action in that, you know, be active in your own marketing. That's not necessarily sitting there posting something every day. That's not what I mean. It's really just understanding what's my strategy, and where do I need to spend my time and money.
And I think that, you know, overriding everything that we've discussed is that is having a strategy and a plan.
Yes.
So planning and figuring out what strategy you want to create, what, where do you want to go with any of it? And because we don't have enough time, especially when you're working in a micro business and you're doing everything that yourself, we don't have enough time to do everything. So we want to be able to do the things that are going to bring the most value into our business. And without a plan, we're just randomly shooting things off everywhere, aren't we?
Yes, that's right. And because things change so quickly in our environment today, every social media platform makes changes almost on a weekly basis, you could say. And, you know, Google changes all the time. So things keep changing and you can't keep up with all of those changes as well as the changes for your own industry or for your own office and things. You need to keep up with that as well. So it's a good idea to have something or someone along your side to support you, but not necessarily do everything for you. You still need to guide what needs to be done.
Mm. But just even somebody in that first instance like yourself, who can go pull them, and this is where I come into sales as well, is pull people back to that. What do you want to achieve part? Who is your market? Who is the customer? Who's going to buy from you? Who do you like working with? You know, why are they going to buy your product or service? You know, and figuring out all of that. And then you can build the right strategy to meet them in the right marketplace as well.
Exactly. And you're saying that very well too, Janine, when you tell people, about sales, what are you selling? When you dig into that question with people, it comes down that they answer with the features all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's not what they're selling, is it?
Well, it may be what they think they're selling, but it's not what people are buying from them, is it?
Mm.
You know, we don't buy an umbrella necessarily because it's got a wooden handle. We buy it because we want to keep the rain off ourselves. You know, it's a very different conversation.
Yes. Yeah, that's the difference.
Absolutely. And so you've mentioned that you do the 2-day courses, and how do people get in touch with you, and what sort of information did you want to,
yes,
to give
so-
to promote?
I do the 2-day courses throughout the year 6 times. I've spread it out so that we have that 6-week period to actually get to the publishing point. To that, the best way to get in touch with me is to go through the application process where I meet with them one-on-one and we can have a discussion to see what they are actually at, what their plans are. And then I can share with them whether I think that's really, the way to move forward is right away to get into it and go into the workshop and write the book if they're ready. Or to say, look, you know, you want to go back over thinking what you're doing. So I very much like to make sure that it is the right thing for them. So really, at this stage, probably to go to anywhere on social media and find me and contact me, connect with me there would be the best way. I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook, of course, and Sigrid DeCast on my under my name is probably the most straightforward way.
And that is spelled SIGRIDDEKASTE. And do you have a website, Sigrid?
Yes. So the website is stickybeakmarketing.com.
Okay. Sticky, STICKY, beak, EAK, marketing.com.
That's it. Yes.
Yeah. And all of the information, I would assume, of the courses is on there as well.
Yes, I have got that. I always have information there available.
So if someone was starting now, I know actually we're probably, this is going to go to air. They'll be listening to this in late November, December. I was going to say, because I remember that you mentioned that someone could write a book and publish it before Christmas, because we're actually doing the interview here now at the end of October, which is pretty amazing. Yeah. So either way, we'd just take a couple of months for people to get that out.
Yes. My last workshop for that to work is Thursday, Friday this week, actually. So that's the 1st and the 2nd of November. And that leads it in comfortably to be published for Christmas. After that,
that's amazing. Mm. That's so fast. It's quite incredible process then.
Yes. It is a process. That's exactly it.
And so you obviously will be running courses next year. Do you have any dates available for 2009 yet on your website?
For next year, you've got me here now. Let me just open up my, so I have February 7 and 8. Is the first one for the new year.
Okay.
And then almost every 6 or April is 11 and 12. So it's almost 6 weeks apart. Might be sometimes 7 weeks, depending on how the months run and how the other things I'm doing fit in with that. So February 7, 8 is the next one. Starting next year.
And how many people do you have on a course, just out of interest? So
look, I've had up to 8 people, and I've done it live here in a location in Brisbane where they've come to my offices to do it. But I've also had a combination where 3 were online and 3 were in the room that can work. But most often what works really well is online, because everybody has got everything at their fingertips at their own office, in their own location. They can quickly get things, and we can work that way very easily. So it doesn't have to be here at the premises.
Okay. All right. That's good, for because there's people listening all over Australia and around the world. So that works really well. So if people are looking for you, it's stickybeakmarketing.com, and it is Sigrid DeHast. So it's RID, sorry, I just had a little blank moment there. DeCast, CKASTE. Look, there's just so much information. It sort of opened up a lot of thinking for people if, you know, they're doing, considering writing a book and how they, you know, what the strategy is behind that book as to what they want to do with it and where they want to direct clients and how they want to make an income out of it. But also just in generally in marketing as well, is to, you know, step back and think about your strategy and plan. I think that's the biggest takeaway out of everything.
It is important, and you know, just to have a chat about what they're at the moment, and is that going to be useful to step into writing a book and using that as the tool? It's always there. The offer is there that I have a chat with somebody, connecting somewhere on social media or through the website. Easy.
And that's the important thing, I think, is for people to have a conversation with you first, figure out where they want to go with everything and what will be the best way for them to move forward.
That's right. Yeah, no, I've had people too coming to those training sessions that I mentioned that come through the book, actually. And the book is build a book to build a business. That's turned out that their idea for writing a book really wasn't really very good a move for them at that point in time, and they just, you know, left that idea aside and gone away and doing something else first. So that, you know, perfectly okay.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. Look, thank you very much for your time, Sigrid. It's been the hour's gone really quickly, and there's just so much great information there. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Janine. Really great to be here.
Most welcome. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. And again, I'm your host, Janine Vosper. You can always find me either, I've got a couple of websites. One is speechperfect.com.au, and it has all of the podcasts that you can download and listen to, and a whole lot of blogs as well, information about different training courses. Or you can go and check out JanineVosper.com, and basically it's got similar information. However you find me, then please say hi and connect. I look forward to you joining me for another episode of the We Are Women podcast. Bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.